We're talking about podcast. We're talking about technical difficulty podcast. Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. We've been having technical difficulties, and we are now beginning our number three.
Cannot record. I need help. Somebody, please.
That was very good. We are beginning. That was great. Beginning our number three of our scheduled Friday morning recording, and it's awesome. Finally working with a completely different setup than we had originally. And it's today, despite technical difficulties, I remain Jordan.
I'm Doge, and just so we know. To kids, jokes are just fun. They'd never guess that understanding the humor in jokes, and maybe knowing a few too, is a great social skill. That's our introduction to a new type of intro that I'm calling a knock-knock blitz. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Dragon who? Dragging your feet again? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Taco who? I don't want to taco about it. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Fire.
Fire who?
If I were you, I'd keep away from fire-breathing dragons. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nacho.
Nacho who?
That's Nacho Taco, and that's Nacho Dragon either. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Thumping.
Thumping who?
Thumping tells me we've told enough dragon and taco knock, knock jokes.
That was actually pretty good. It was well-crafted.
Thumping tells me.
The fire...
It's nothing. Fire that's not being, a joke.
What was the word that it tried to turn it into?
No. It's the joke is knock knock. Who's there? Fire. Fire who? If I were you, I'd keep away from fire breathing dragons.
If I were you is supposed to be the evolution of the word fire.
If fire
Yikes,
you
guys.
If I are yeah. you, yeah, I think it's supposed to be yeah, like yeah. the joke.
If I are you,
that's great.
Yikes, guys.
Thumping wicked this way comes.
I'm Carter. And I did have a touch this morning of that moment of dread that I thought was only reserved for a gridlocked highway in which you think you will never get home. It will never happen. And so the joy that I feel is not what I expected, but it's the kind of energy that I normally would have had if things just all worked immediately. But somehow it's looped around and I got it again.
We're not going to have to, we don't have to tell you who had technical difficulties. I don't think it matters.
It's me.
I don't think it matters who.
That's fine. Yeah,
it was me. But it doesn't matter.
It's me.
The boomer. The boomer of the boomer podcast.
That's me. The 35-year-old boomer of the podcast. Gee, thanks. Guys, I have some exciting news that I need us to unpack. I don't know what to do with it.
Sure.
So the last time we recorded, we were talking about, because I thought it was so interesting. We did like a little rank you very much to try and find the top 10 highest grossing films of 2024.
Sure,
the surprise there was that Inside Out was number 4 already after one weekend. It's been a week since we talked about that. It doubled in how much money it made. Inside Out 2, let's break this down, has made $834 million. It is the number one grossing movie by more than $100 million now.
Wow.
Here's what else is interesting. It's very likely going to pass the $1 billion mark after this weekend. Pixar, which in the land of Disney that's starting to dilute most of its IP, Pixar has remained as something that feels a little bit more reliable. I haven't walked into a Pixar movie and thought, oh no, they're going to drain this dry. It's very likely because there's so many different stories to be told and it's not one huge universe, even though the internet tries to do that sometimes with Pixar and say, well, that was
right.
Andy's ball is in Dory's mouth. I don't know. But
no, that's
Inside Out 2, if you were to do the rankings of the highest grossing Pixar films of all time, Inside Out 2 is right behind Inside Out by only $20 million and would rank 7th already out of the 20 Pixar movies. And it only needs to pass $1.2 billion to be the highest grossing Pixar film of all time. A projection that is still possible. What does this mean? Let's have a quick conversation about this. What I can deduce is kid movies still make a ton of money. We always get surprised at like, at this point, it's like a convenience, right? So what have the movies always been? And what remains even when the movies aren't good anymore? Well, people that don't really care because they just want to get out of the house. So
sure.
I don't know. Is it like, does it become the majority of what gets released in theaters is either the big blockbuster or the kids movie.
I also think like, that we need to keep an eye out for what happens with Despicable Me 4, which is another big kids franchise, but
yeah, it's a great point.
Not probably considered quality wise as good as like a Pixar movie. And so I think that paying attention to what that movie does will give us kind of an idea of, is this a kids movie phenomenon? Is this a Pixar movie phenomenon? Or is this what happens when a kids movie is good?
Yeah.
And Despicable Me 4 might be
specifically an
also.
Inside Out thing.
What's crazy too is Inside Out 2 has already made more than, so I said it would be number 7, right? So it would be just ahead of Coco.
Wow.
So it's more successful already in 2 weeks than what Coco was for its entire run.
Coco,
which we
my
were saying
of the last
was
decade.
Super surprising how much money Coco made, right? And so I'm encouraged because I think I just long for the movie theaters to not have more reasons to just shut all their doors. There's other exciting news in Dallas. Alamo Drafthouse is on its way back. We didn't have, but a month ago probably talked about that. It was assumed that would happen with Sony buying it and all that good stuff. But I don't know. I don't know how they're making these decisions of what gets released and what doesn't.
In the last decade, I just thought of this as we were talking about this. In the last decade, I would say of all the like children's geared movies that I have watched, outside of Coco, of the last 10 years, all of my favorites, like if I were to put together probably a top 10 list, Coco is the only Pixar and I think only Disney movie on that list. Like there are a lot of other kids movies that are crushing it.
Yeah. Mm.
That aren't Pixar. And so I wonder if like, did other production companies catch up? Did Pixar inspire, did early 2000s Pixar inspire so many creators to come in and make How to Train Your Dragon and to make like, I mean, even something like Paddington is
right.
A two-part incredible movie, a series. I don't know. Series feels weird with only two movies, but you know what I mean.
Cinematic universe.
Yeah, the Paddington universe.
Yeah, the PCU.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see. I really like the first Despicable Me. I don't really remember. I think I've seen the second one. I don't think I've seen the third one, but I really like the first one. I think that it's got a lot of heart. So Despicable Me 4 could really
You guys can't tell anybody this. You can't tell anybody this because of the aura I've cultivated on this podcast.
Sure, how cool.
But Despicable Me 1 is Despicable Me 1's pretty good.
And I think it is good.
I really enjoy
it. It's a great movie.
But nobody can know this.
Yeah, no, I won't tell anyone. I won't say a single word. Just for reference, the number one grossing Pixar movie of all time is Incredibles 2, which made $1.2 billion.
That is shocking. I think probably that has everything to do with the fact that that is the most demanded Pixar movie. You know what I mean? I think I can't think of any other Pixar movie where people are like, you need to make this. Oh, thank God you're finally making this.
Right.
You know,
something, the more I think about the way that like movies and box office works though, the more I feel like box office numbers, as far as like staying quality, staying power of a movie, box office numbers have nothing to do with it because Incredibles 2 making so much money feels like a restaurant breaking records on its opening weekend, but it's like, do people go back? The people that went on the opening weekend, do they go back? Like how many people are like, I really want to rewatch Incredibles 2. And the older I get, the more I think movies live and die culturally on how rewatchable they are, even more so than how watchable they are.
Which is why nobody can figure, that's why executives, that's why we ranted and raved against the corpos a year ago. Sure. Everybody's out of touch because it's just like the box office gross does not at all determine the viability of something as a movie.
Right.
And so it's just that it's an impossible scenario where it's like you have to confirm that it's going to make money to get it greenlit, but that doesn't mean it's going to be good or worth watching.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the corpos, man.
Corpos.
They're taking it from us.
Back at it.
Well, stick it to the corpos.
If only there was a like smaller group of creatives putting together something fun and interesting with a fun story that people could follow. We have an announcement.
This is true.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, listeners, my beautiful friends.
It feels so weird to do an announcement now in our show, just so you know, by the way. I'm fine with it. Let's keep going. It just, there's a part of my brain that's like, what are you doing, dude? This is usually for the middle of the show.
Oh, right. It's not a shout announcement, right?
Right.
That's what's so strange.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Because it's too important for that. I don't want to poo-poo right. on shout announcements. But
I hate to be this guy.
I don't give an F, man.
I don't give an F,
wow.
man.
Dang, dude, wow. for real?
I don't give a single F, man.
Dang, dude, that's crazy.
Call the cops. Hey, lock me up, man. Call the cops.
You're so cool.
I don't care.
I'm calling them right now.
The risk you take. I don't care.
Police?
Friends.
Yeah, it's me again. He doesn't...
He keeps doing it.
No
He keeps saying he doesn't give any Fs. I can't even... Yeah, no, I told him. I told him it's crazy. Yeah. Hey, police said it's... Police said you have to give a little bit of an
Why'd you use your actual phone?
It's so that you guys would be immersed in the bit.
I was so immersed.
Sure. Carter was immersed.
I mean, yeah.
He liked it.
I got nervous.
Is that the cop?
Why would you actually call the cops on me right now?
Are you really doing this?
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought he was. We, along with some incredible, incredibly talented friends, have been doing something secretly for about 4 months now.
Been building a boat.
We're finally ready to
reveal. We've been making NFTs, and we want you to buy them. For $1 million a piece.
We have about 15 episodes recorded of an infinite number of episodes planned of an actual play, heavy on the role play Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Oh, man.
It feels good to say it.
It feels so good.
It feels good to say it. We cannot share the name with you yet. But in August, we will be releasing officially the first episodes and beginning our journey as a Two Chunks community and far beyond, walking through our D&D campaign that we have been playing with our friends Vince and Mariah Kelly and DM'd by the incredibly talented Gage Kell. And the wickedly talented Gage Kell. And I think that it cannot be overstated how excited we are to share this with all of you and how excited we are to
so pumped.
Just be doing, like, this has been some of the most fun we have had doing anything in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, we've created together on this podcast for over 5 years, but outside of that, even pre-podcast days, there was another 3 to 4 years there. So really in having 10 decades, maybe, of it, or 10 decades.
100 years.
The last 100 years.
About a decade of the opportunity to put our heads and our hearts together and make things. Like this feels different in the best way, like very special. And it's exciting.
I'm so excited for everyone to meet my character, Bobo Gaggins. Yeah. He's a...
That's what we're waiting on, is because we have to hear from the Tolkien estate before we can tell you the name of the podcast.
It's going
to
be called, Lord of the Things, and it follows a young guy named
Clumsy
Bobo Gaggins. He has this magic necklace and he has to destroy it in a deep underwater trench. It's really
my
original.
My character, Chunky Debra.
Wait, I gotta get Chunky the joke. Debra's What's Chunky Debra?
No joke. That's just the worst possible name for a character
Chunky
I can
Debra.
Think of. It's the worst possible name for a character that I could think of in the moment. No, this is real. We're not. These aren't the character names, but we really are.
Definitely not.
About this.
We'll hold on those.
We're gonna introduce.
Yeah, we're gonna hold off to those.
We're gonna introduce Bobo Gaggins in season 2, probably. I think
100%.
We will. We will be releasing an episode 0 on. Wherever you get your podcasts, that'll introduce you to all the players, the DM, the different characters, the setting, and get you sort of primed and ready to go for the campaign. But if you're already into D&D, then we hope that we do you proud. And if you're not into D&D, if you've never listened to an actual play podcast before, please understand that the majority of this podcast is us being stupid and it's collective storytelling. It's group storytelling where we together push a narrative forward and we just play pretensies. That's literally all that's happening is we are playing pretensies with a bunch of really funny and talented people. And there's a lot of like sincerity and a lot of heart and a lot of
a lot of humor. Almost too much heart. If we're being honest, it's almost too It's too
mushy, you know?
It's too mushy. It's too. There's times it's too mushy.
So, yeah, we've been having a blast.
Lots of good fighting too, though.
There's
promise
so
you that.
Much good fighting.
Y'all don't even know, man. We've accomplished things that I would have never dreamed.
Yeah, you got to remember, we're coming at you 15 episodes into this thing, so we've already done some stuff.
There's so much.
We've already done some stuff, but we wanted to make sure that we had a solid base to start sharing with everybody before we released it, so that's why we're so far down the line on this thing. But
yeah. Genuinely so excited to premiere this.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah. We wanted to have a longer runway to announce it and prep for it, because it is really important, especially at the beginning of a podcast's life. To review, rate, all that kind of stuff that we've had campaigns for in the past for Two Chunks that really helped this podcast. We'll want some of the same for sure there. We hope for it and genuine, you know, feedback. I think that's one of the terrifying things about creating in general. But when you've got such a levy of it that's holding back so much that you've created already, Doge has put in hours, many hours of beautiful score work, and it's really produced, y'all. It's gonna be really good.
It's gonna be awesome.
Very excited
to celebrate fantasy. We love fantasy. We're fantasy boys. We have
fantasy boys.
Obviously Lord of the Rings is a big thing for all of us, but like I grew up reading like basically Twilight. any book in the school library that had a dragon or a sword on the front of it. I was like, that's the one I'm gonna read for sure.
Reason I picked Zelda for the first time just had a sword on the cover, and I was like, I'll play that.
So to celebrate, we visited a website called The Top Tens, and this is user-submitted, crowdsourced polls determining the top 10 of anything. So today, we're going to take a look at the top 10 mythical creatures. I want you guys, we're going to play Rank You Very Much with this.
Fun.
So you each get 3 strikes. I need you to guess.
Are we supposed to see this list?
No, I can see the list. You're playing Rank You Very Much. You're trying to guess.
You sent us a link. I don't know why you sent us the link.
I sent you the link to the homepage of the top 10s.
Oh.
So you just for you can do your own research. But the way this works is I'm going to have this list in front of me. You guys are going to try and guess what animals, what creatures are in the top 10 mythical creatures. And then when you say one, I might, depending on if it's interesting, I might read you a user submitted comment about that creature.
Now, are these like named creatures or more like,
So it's not going to be like, it's not proper names.
So gotcha. I guess what I'm saying is like, it wouldn't be like the Loch Ness Monster.
It's not going to be like Tinkerbell. It's going to be like Pixie or whatever she would be.
Got it. But okay. Got it.
Go ahead and guess that first.
Got it.
That's probably the best first guess. Jordan, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
I can't tell really what this list is because it seems like he's leaning more towards like fantasy creatures and not like cryptids.
It is top 10 mythical creatures. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a big problem with this list because it's user submitted. And since it's user submitted, there are no rules.
I love this.
Hippogriffs.
No, not on the list. Bong bong, strike one.
I'm going to say dragons.
Dragon is number one. I'm going to read you this comment. This comment. Okay, somebody's gone a little nuts on this. If I were a dragon master, I would train my dragons how to use their primordial, potent, and apocalyptic potent powers known as the Dragon Force. Now picture it.
Potent twice.
The Dragon Force is an ultimately all-powerful entity of God who can possess God's power to create anything and everything in primordial power or cause destruction to anything and everything in apocalyptic power. Therefore, I will be the chosen one to become leader of my own dragons of their power, known as the Dragon Force, and then dominate everything with God's primordial force, potent, and God's apocalyptic force, potent power, known as the Dragon Force.
I mean, heck yeah. She kind of snapped. She ate that a little bit. Now all my brain can do is the, on a dark desert highway, in the time before the light. It's so hard to do a quiet impression of Dragon Force.
Yeah.
Trying to whisper and do a hair metal voice at the same time is impossible.
If I believe dragons are the best, they should wear amulets of God on them, which are amulets with God's name on them, which grants them God's omnipotence and God's omnipotence. Jehovah
Jireh, bro. It's so sick derivatives. That this person's dragons are Christian.
Meaning they could overcome anything.
I think that's tight as hell.
You don't want to know what type of dragons I like? I like the angelic types, which have the same powers as God himself, God's angels, dude, and so that they can defeat the big bad guys of all time, like what Michael the Archangel did to Satan in the Bible. And so remember this, angelic dragons are God's biblical heroes of the Bible.
Yeah, dude, 100%.
Yeah, that's true.
I have been in a post Wednesday night, but still my mom was at choir rehearsal childcare room with these kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just with remember, guys, people, specific. Dragons are God's biblical heroes to kick Satan's ass.
That's why they're the number one. It was easy to know that they were going to be the number one on here.
Dragons are number one. Jordan, your guess.
Unicorn.
Bing, 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 unicorn. Ah, actually, I'm sorry, Bong Bong. Unicorn is 13.
What?
Great.
I really love unicorns so very much. Unicorns are so very beautiful. I always dreamed of having a pet unicorn, hey, and I would have named it Sparkle.
If it's not top 10, I don't care. Get it out of here.
Ooh. 13. Ooh. That's 2 strikes for Jordan, 0 strikes for Carter. Carter, you're up.
Ooh. Give me some of that vampire.
A vampire.
A
vampire. A vampire did not make this list.
Whoa, so it's a different... Okay, that's fine. That's
1 strike for Carter, 2 strikes for Jordan.
I'm trying to identify... Because I assume there's like a voting process that got the top 10 to happen.
Uh-huh, yeah, you vote.
And I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the commenters.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me again what this list is called?
Top 10 mythical creatures.
Creatures. All right.
Which is a different webpage... from top 10 mythical beasts.
Well, that's really interesting. We do have one of the 10.
I mean, I'm just going to swing it. Can I just swing it? Alien?
Bong Bong. Alien, not on this list. I love
that, though.
Great.
I love that.
Carter, you just clean it up and then we can be done with this.
Easy. Let's get all the rest of the 10. Phoenix.
Phoenix is number 2.
What?
More elegant, peaceful version of the dragon. Plus can be reborn from Bob Man's
head. No, it's not. It's a bird.
It's a more elegant, peaceful version of a dragon.
It's a pinky up dragon.
It's
a cotillion dragon.
A salamander is a more elegant, peaceful version of a dragon.
Let's not be dragons.
No need to burn the city down. Simply... fly around it a few times.
Phoenix is number 2. Carter, how many more can you get?
Is a pigeon a more elegant, peaceful version of a dragon?
Yeah, it's the most peaceful version. It goes pigeon, phoenix, dragon.
A chimera.
Bong Bong.
Knew it. Okay.
2 strikes for you.
An ogre.
Bong Bong. 3 strikes for Carter. Number 1 is dragon. Number 2 is phoenix. Number 3 is mermaid.
Okay.
Number 4, Pegasus. Pegasus is best for me. I have a lot of information about him, but it will take a lot of time to write. But one important thing I want to tell is that they have crazy superpowers and can beat a Chinese dragon or draw the battle. But for me, both are equally powerful in number 1.
Is Pegasus a proper name?
Uh-uh. I mean, technically, there was the Pegasus in Greek myth, but the Pegasus was a Pegasus, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Cerberus is number 5.
Okay. That makes sense.
Kraken is number 6.
Okay.
Griffin is number 7. Seriously underrated mythological beasts. Seriously, they're the kings of both the land and the sky.
That's interesting. I got Hippogriff and Griffin mixed up.
Uh-oh.
Then.
Okay, anyways. So 2 things. One, it seems like the Pegasus referring to all winged horses thing is more like a Kleenex being all tissues kind of thing.
Sure, a name brand thing.
There's only in Greek mythology the one Pegasus, which means that you lied to me and this list does have proper names.
I never said it doesn't have proper names. I said there's no rules.
No.
I do think you said it.
You said it doesn't have proper names.
But that's okay.
Number 8, but Loch Ness Monster.
That's no!
I love the Loch Ness Monster, but I feel like it's a friend for me.
when I specifically asked,
nothing says friend like
about the Loch Ness
deep
monster,
underwater massive creatures. That's terrifying.
I said there's no rules.
No, you specifically said that there's no like proper names of things. It's like the breed of the thing.
So I would say the Loch Ness monster is what it is, and its name is Nessie.
But there's one.
Oh, okay.
But what is it then? How would you describe that thing?
The same way you would describe a Pegasus, which is by the one thing that exists. It's a Pegasus.
I would say that is the Loch Ness monster, not that is Loch Ness monster. I would never say that is the Carter. I would say that is Carter because Carter's his name. But I would say that is the Loch Ness monster, not that is Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, but that's
because
there's other humans. If we were all ants and then there was just Carter, the only person, we'd probably refer to him as both, I would say.
Interesting.
Let's go to number nine.
Number nine
this is, great.
Is werewolf.
Boo! But vampire.
A beast which
there.
Is half man.
Yeah, werewolf, but not vampires.
A beast which is half man, most wolf. Awesome.
That's not how that works either.
That's my favorite description so far.
Number, that is great, though.
Number 10, centaur.
Dude, this list sucks.
The comment says centaur.
Unicorn, was it there?
Centaur. I describe it as a symbol of bravery.
Heck yeah. Nothing's braver.
Amazing.
You kidding? The majesty of a horse and the majesty of a man.
I get the vibe that most of the people who put this list together and wrote the comments on it have a physical representation of the armor of God that they put on most mornings.
Yeah, I love this.
Number.
I hope to play it again someday.
Just a quick sweep of folks who didn't make the cut. We've got number 11, Lucifer. Number 12, Basilisk.
The one biblical... The one thing actually from the Bible, they're like, didn't quite make the top 10.
Number 13, unicorn.
Like dragons,
number 14, kitsune. Number 15, elf. 16, minotaur. 17, medusa. 18, trolls. 19, fairy. And 20,
medusa
cyclops.
Medusa is also a proper name. She's a gorgon.
All cyclops. I told you was that there's no rules. What I did tell you is that you're not going to like this list.
The listeners will hear you. The listeners will literally hear you deny proper names when I ask you.
First of all, I want to say he didn't make any sense. I don't think he knows what he's saying. Wow.
Thanks to our field agents for the research. Griffin was number 23. Wait.
Nobody said Griffin.
Griffin was number 8.
Griffin was number 7, spelled G-R-I-F-F-I-N, and the number 23 is Griffin.
G-R-Y-P-H-O-N?
G-R-I-F-F-O-N. And the comment says, I've never seen it spelled that way.
But it got it to 23. Tell you
that's
that.
Jeez.
I love that. That's fun.
That's crazy.
Number 10, Pikachu.
Yeah.
That's a blast.
I love it.
I had
Thanks
fun,
to our researchers for putting together this top 10 list for us.
Thanks, guys. Only
I guess
the best.
Next
this
time,
is the people that help us to write the D&D campaign.
Next time we play, I will know just to not listen to whatever Doge sets it up as and just to guess with my heart.
The thing is, you could run it next time if you want to.
Ooh, he said, just do it yourself then.
Just don't feel the need. Shall we shout and announce?
We shall.
Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements.
Zoom said we couldn't have that. Zoom said,
oh, you didn't get any of it?
Zoom said, that's for later. You can't have that now.
Well, Audacity got it, and that's what matters.
Welcome to Shout Announcements. I was just like, what?
No, it was there. It was there, and it was pretty. It was beautiful. Mariah Carey whistle tones is really what it was. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. And I'd like to give the biggest announcement.
See, I was thinking it was more like Jim Carrey pistle tones. That's the kind of the vibe I got.
You killed it. You killed it.
What does Jim Carrey have to do with that?
Well, you said Mariah Carey.
Because it sounds like Mariah Carey.
No, this is Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's pistle tones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want to take it again with a better try, or do you want to just leave that?
No, Jordan, I'll go again. I'll go
Jordan,
again.
That's a great way of making people feel so good.
I'll go again. Mariah Carey whistle tones? More like, it's more like Jim Carey pistle tones.
That'll work. We can keep that one. We just cut all the stuff
it
before.
It genuinely got me again.
We just cut all the stuff before. That'll be fine. Big ol' announcement, in case you skipped the first half of the episode to get to shout announcements, which would be, I would say, crazy.
Welcome to all one of you.
We are releasing in August a D&D actual play podcast heavily focused on the role play and the funsies with the three of us and our friends Vince and Mariah Kelly and our DM Gage Kell. And it's going to be a blast. We're already 15 episodes-ish deep. And so we know what happens and you don't, which means that we know it is going to be a great time. So even if you're new to D&D podcasts, I would recommend starting with ours because it's pretty easy to follow along. I think you'll have a great time. Check it out. We really hope you enjoy it because heart and soul has gone into this thing.
I think that,
yeah, it's great.
Like I think I'm going to know how to play D&D by the time we're done recording it, which is going to be great. I can't wait to have that as a new skill set.
Don't forget to vote for the Two Chunks Movie Club movie of July. The movies that we have out there are Despicable Me 4, Long Legs, which is a Nick Cage movie. We're talking Nick Cage here in just a few seconds. That's got great reviews. He's got these interesting runs in which it'll be like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for like 2 years, and then he just disappears into some random other world type stuff. But we've got, Despicable Me 4, Long Legs, Deadpool and Wolverine, and Twisters. So you can choose from those. I will see at least half of those anyway.
Yeah.
But... you know, you got your hopes when you go in, sure. But it's fun to just
Jordan,
see
what were you.
So
telling,
we will watch whatever
what you were you telling on. Me about Long Legs the other day when I saw you in person?
What I heard was that Long Legs got the comparison of Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. So I'll be seeing 75%.
Which one are you? Here's the thing. There's a chance I see 100%.
Which one are you not seeing?
If y'all vote and make me see the other one.
That he is not going
no,
to see.
That's not it. You won't catch me trying to see Deadpool. Boy, I would be so frustrated. Can you imagine?
I heard he says bad words, probably.
I can't watch that.
Doesn't really seem like what a dragon of God would do. So I think maybe
you got to the dragon thing
it
before.
It seems like God might have to send one of his dragons to kick Deadpool's ass.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.
We could talk for hours. We could be friends for hours. We could eat a peach for hours. It's time to talk about the seminal classic Face Off. Podcast on is what I would say. Does
Face Off?
Will you give us a synopsis of Face Off so that we can discuss? So that we can discuss?
This week's IMDb synopsis comes to us from Nick Reganis.
Nick!
I knew it.
It took 6 long years for FBI Special Agent Sean Archer to bring down Castor Troy, his maniacal criminal nemesis. But Archer's work is far from over.
Eminem bar? Maniacal criminal nemesis is so like Eminem flow.
But Archer's got vomit on his sweater already. But Archer's work is far from over. The dangerous mega-terrorist has planted a biological bomb somewhere in Los Angeles, capable of unleashing a plague of biblical proportions. Dragon-sized, I would say. So to respond to Troy's baleful threat, Archer must undergo a radical surgical procedure to slip into the wolf's skin. After all, being bad is sometimes good. But now, Sean is an entirely different person. The gut-wrenching feeling of loss only a father knows has turned him into an instrument of avenging justice, wearing the hideous face of pure evil. And as two mortal enemies in an identity crisis lock horns, the lives of millions are hanging in the balance. Will lethal firepower bring out the mirror's hidden truth?
Wow. Nick is chills. So good.
I'm a super pump.
Chills.
I'm a super pump.
Do it.
Okay. Nick, you're amazing. They switch faces. That's the super pump. I did not think it would work so well on me. It seems like the number one, it's not a trope though. That doesn't happen.
No.
Like you do Freaky Friday and you switch whole bodies and stuff, but they basically did that and they showed us the entire thing. And for some reason, like now it feels like it's worked for the first time and it's this juicy creative thing I've never seen before. It's so original. They swapped faces. When you read the quotes for IMDb, the face swap screws you up. Like the entire movie, it's so hard because looking at quotes, anything that's Cast or Troy is actually things that John Travolta is saying. Yes.
Right.
So when they're quoting Cast or Troy, they're not quoting the actor who actually did this.
Yeah.
It is such a mind. I didn't think it would be. It is the I got your nose of movie scripts.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are your thumbs separating? It's like, wait, what? Somehow that still works. It looks really good. It's the street magic of action. And I'm so glad we watched it. I could not believe it. It totally flipped any kind of critique that I have for the movie because we were having this conversation. We got to watch this together because I think we knew that this was going to be an interesting experience.
Yeah.
And that none of us had seen it. So of course we want to do that. But I know we'll get into the conversation, but you start off and you start thinking one actor's not doing very well, but then there's a complete flip of a switch because now they have to play the actor who was doing well. And it's so hard to process. And in the midst of it, you've got all these wonderful John Woo things, which are just so fun. It's just a playground. It's a good movie. Like it's a blast of a time.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how much fun we had.
I would call this movie, in the best way, exceptionally stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At like every turn. The timer set on the bomb being for so long is crazy. The idea of swapping faces is crazy.
Goofy.
Is the last time the three of us felt this way like Fast Five?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
our level of dumb.
Our most recent favorite Fast and Furious, Fate of the Furious was a great one.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's that.
Yeah.
But.
Yep.
Oh, man.
100%. Have you guys seen, I'm pretty sure it's Vin, somebody from Fate of the Furious has given an interview lately where they're like, the next one, it's going to be back to the roots. It's going to be street racing again. I was like, you literally ended Fast X with like, a dam was collapsing on your car that you drove off a cliff. How are you going to race on the street again after this?
That's all that's left if you don't have dams anymore and rivers. What's left?
Just roads. Streets. Yeah.
You got to go to the streets. It's called Fast X2. How amazing is that?
Wait, is it really?
How amazing is that? Yes.
Is that real? Oh my goodness.
Yes, dude. How amazing
That's
is
incredible.
That? Someone's going to call it Fast Times 2.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Fast squared.
I'm going to super pump now. The boat, they drive a boat. And it blows up through while it drives through another boat
and it
shoots him out the front of it.
Very good. Very good. I have, at the tail end of our conversation, I've put together a very short award ceremony for Dad or
Cool.
Dad.
Sure.
And one of those will be explosions. We had a conversation around this. We had a given before some things happened in Face Off. But
are they called the Daddies? Who's going to win a daddy?
I think that's great.
Cool. Yeah.
They didn't have a name, but it's the daddies.
It's the daddies. Yeah. My super pump is that this movie somehow manages to be Freaky Friday and an action movie at the same time. Like there's this like zany Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Freaky Friday level of like weird personal hijinks happening while the action movie's also happening. And it's like Caster Troy's a horrible bad person. He's a sexual predator. He's a terrorist. He is an awful, awful person. And then also he's living this like sitcom pretend to be somebody else life. Also, I don't know how to describe it other than like, it's like there's two movies here. One is where a mild-mannered businessman changes place with a crazy guy, and then the other one where that mild-mannered businessman is in the FBI and the crazy guy's a terrorist. It's just...
It's nuts, dude.
It's really crazy.
It's the body swap of, like, Tim Allen, the shaggy dog, where it's like, what? This? How does this make any sense at all?
Yeah, but, like, if the dog also took over the man body as well...
He does. He does.
Is that what happens in that movie?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
I thought he just becomes a dog. Is there a Tim Allen walking around with a dog's brain in that movie?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. If I could speak directly to the listener for a moment, this isn't for y'all. You've already seen the movie.
Great.
You have to watch this. Like, I have avoided this movie for a long time because of the reputation of, like, that's the dumbest, most ridiculous Nicolas Cage action movie that you could possibly imagine. This movie rules. It's so stupid, and it absolutely rules. I, like, felt embarrassed at the end of it. We're like, why did this work so well for me? But it's got a really high audience score. Like, most people who watch this think it kind of rules. I think you should definitely watch this movie.
Yep, I found several rankings of Nick Cage movies, because it's a fun internet thing in general just to talk about Nick Cage, because it's all over the map. Yeah. But very often this was number one for him.
I can see that. 100% I can see that. I don't believe
Tim Allen's body gets taken over by a dog in The Shaggy Dog. I just looked it up.
Tim Allen barks and has a dog's tail.
Yeah, I think it's because he's like mid-transformation.
No, I could see that being... I can see this being the top of somebody's Nick Cage list. This is like the Nicolas Cage-est that I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
Pretty cagey, dude.
I think it's this and like Wicker... Is it Wicker Man where he does the thing about like
the bees?
The bees!
Yeah.
That's pretty Nick Cagey.
Yeah.
And then whichever movie he does... I've never seen it, but the clip where he's like the... And it make me piss blood! Like that whole thing is pretty Nick Cage as well.
Yeah.
He's very lore guy.
Yeah.
It's just things, people make up things about Nick Cage.
It's true.
He's at the point where anything that somebody would tell me about him seems like it could be true.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything somebody could tell me about Nick Cage where I'd be like, nah, that's not true.
I feel the same way about Stanley Tucci, but in a different direction. Where it's like, if
things they
could
tell me that he cooked on TikTok. It's like, did you see Stanley Cookie?
Well, for me, it's like, if somebody was like, did you know that Stanley Tucci has 1,000 like leather bound fantasy books in a library? I'd be like, yeah, that tracks.
Did you know that Stanley Tucci rehabilitates injured parakeets so they can grow free in the wild? Yeah,
I'm sure. Like, yeah, that sounds right.
Of course he does.
Do you know that Stanley Tucci, in a single puff, clears an entire tobacco pipe every single time he uses one? Just, and then it's all gone. I'd be like, wow, yeah, that's
Yeah, he builds crazy. Snow globes, actually, and he sells them on Etsy.
They both are Paul Bunyan-y.
Yeah. Yeah, they're modern tall tales.
Yeah,
very much so.
Do you know Nick Cage is a big blue ox named Babe?
Some pig. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is unhinged in this movie, and I thought was going to be the best part of this movie, and is one of the best parts. But John Travolta,
dude, being Travolta's creepy, great.
Castor Troy is really good in this.
Very good.
Being
man.
Creepy, Nicolas Cage being creepy, Castor Troy.
Yeah, like, he does a thing. Good Nick Cage.
That Travolta does a great job playing Nick Cage playing Castor Troy.
Yeah, I would say Nick Cage does not actually do a super good Sean Archer.
No.
But it doesn't matter because he's Nick Caging everywhere.
Right. Travolta is I did not expect that from him at all in this movie.
Same.
Nope.
We got to talk.
We were sitting there and I was leading the charge of talking about how, like, he's not good. Like, Travolta's really not good at acting. And then he does this.
It's like, touche.
Like, oh my God, what's happening?
Travolta. Touche. We got to burn through some topics real quick so we can get to awards and such. But just want to say my super dump is, I think for me, just like how uncomfy the scenes with Nicolas Cage's Castor Troy and John Travolta's Castor Troy with young women.
Same.
Yes. It's like, I know he's a monster and I know the movie's not endorsing these actions, but it still is bad to see it. And I don't
care for it. Just make him a guy who likes to blow stuff up.
Yeah.
It's just yucky.
I
don't know.
It's gross. I didn't like it. Yeah, what I did like was an entire prison with a magnetic floor and magnetic boots that never really did anything, but it was a hilarious concept.
Dude, I thought they were going to walk on the wall or on the ceiling.
Thought so too.
I was pretty disappointed in the magic boots.
Same. But that prison break was a blast. Ridiculous. They need to hire people to man guns on helicopters that know how to aim. I think they would have ended that movie a lot sooner if they did that.
Yes.
Gina Gershwin?
Mm-hmm.
Gina, whatever, kisses her brother pretty passionately on the mouth.
Yeah.
And then we were like, maybe they're not.
So
maybe
weird.
That's not her brother. And then it for sure was her brother.
I heard that's where they got the idea for Game of Thrones was from Face Off.
I heard the same.
Yeah.
I heard the same.
That's gotta be it.
Yeah, real quick, let's talk about the boat crashing through another boat just real fast. Just a too little good. More detail. It's an actual speedboat chase. Speedboat v. speedboat.
It looks like a real stunt too.
Oh, for sure.
It's amazing.
It involves one speedboat using a like cruiser boat as a ramp and like exploding through it.
Exploding out the front of it.
And it's one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's extremely cool.
It's unbelievable.
It's extremely
unbelievable.
Cool.
It's truly, truly fantastic.
It really is.
I'm ready to give out awards. I'm feeling generous.
Yeah,
I want to sign some checks. I want to shake some hands. Let's give people some
awards. Do we want to rate this and then move on to the final Datter Day closing ceremonies?
That's fine for me. Yeah,
let's do it. Rating two chunks. The scientific cinema scale is perfect. And it goes like this. The best thing we can ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it,
buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. And then after that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie is...
God hath forsaken us.
I'm going to buy...
I buy it.
Oh! I buy it. Ooh. It's buy all around. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. But nobody thought that was coming.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a good movie, guys. I don't know what else to say. It's a great movie. It's a ridiculous
shockingly,
film.
It's shockingly great. I was so surprised at how much fun I had with it. And it's not even a like, it's not a so bad, it's good kind of vibe. Like it's...
No, it's like actually a pretty good movie.
It's so good that it's good.
I actually, because I was just thinking about like, I bought the poster for Total Recall because it's so bad, it's good that it feels endlessly rewatchable. But Face Off, in a good way, doesn't feel endlessly rewatchable because it's too good. Like it requires too much of you as a viewer.
Yeah.
To watch it. It's a good movie.
I can't believe it.
Face Off is awesome.
Just absolutely unbelievable. Let's head to the daddies. We're giving out daddies today.
Not daddies.
I've got five categories today that we're going to vote on for this Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
And I want to start with the most Datterday aspect of things. And it's a little bit all over the place. You know, we've got in the Oscars, there's some things that have 10 nominations. There's some that have five. You know, when we started out with animated movies, it was like three. So we have a couple that have just three because I'm not trying to just like do everybody favors. There's like one or two nominations that's trying to touch every single movie, but we had five movies and some of them just didn't do some things well. But I do want to start with the best splosion.
Yep.
The best splosion. We have what we just referred to, our speedboats, right? These blow up at some point. It's phenomenal. A lot of fire. And that was maybe the best part of the explosions that were in Face Off. Face Off tried to do a handful of them, and we were kind of rolling our eyes because we had seen at the very beginning of Demolition Man, in which we have our flashback, the explosion of the factory. I don't really know what else to call it, but an entire acre of building blows up. And then lastly, at a grander scale, in Total Recall, Mars, you can say, blew up, but for the better.
It blew down.
Maybe. It's a healing explosion.
It blew down. It was a healing explosion. I will have it go to the two of you. Maybe we do it like Spring Delirium.
Sure.
And if y'all are split on either side, we can have some argument about this. But do we want to do like a 3-2-1?
Sure.
And then you just
say the movie name. Okay.
So do y'all have in mind what you're thinking here? 3-2-1.
Demolition Man.
Yeah. That explosion. Yeah,
actual explosion.
It's so big.
It's tough to beat the real thing.
It's so big.
What a way to start it too. Can you imagine being in theaters in the 90s and watching that?
Next, we have what I'm calling the screen stealer. This was someone who was not a lead, but had a lot of screen time. Okay. We start with Jackson of Bloodsport. This was our big Harley
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Private Hudson, Bill Paxton's character in Aliens, Game Over Man. And then we've got Lieutenant Lenina Huxley, Sandra Bullock's character in Demolition Man.
Yep.
All great supporting actors here. And in this category, we call them screen stealers. Yep. Do you have one in
I
mind?
I do.
Three, two, one.
Bill Paxton.
Aliens.
Yep.
Yep.
Bill Paxton, dude. He's like action movie iconic for
yeah,
that role.
Man.
Game he's over, so man.
Yep.
I don't think it was a super given because I was super impressed by Bullock.
Sure.
But I do think there's so much else going on in Demolition Man that maybe she's not one of the first
she's
things
not
that gets
quotable.
Brought up.
She stole the screen, but she didn't hold on to it.
Mm.
Bill Paxton yeah. stole the screen and kept it.
Yeah. Let's talk heroes. Who was the best hero of Dead or Day 3? Sean Archer? Of Face Off, Ripley of Aliens, John Spartan of Demolition Man.
That name.
Frank Dukes of Bloodsport.
And Real Life.
And Real Life. Quaid of Total Recall.
I yep. am Quaid.
Yep.
I'm Quaid. You are me. Hello. You are me. This is going to blow your mind. Archer, Ripley, Spartan, Frank, and Quaid. Do you have one in mind?
Yep. Yep.
Three, two, one.
Quaid.
Frank.
Oh, so we're Quaid v. Frank Dukes. Doge, I'm going to have you go first. Tell me why Frank Dukes is the hero of Dad or Day.
Frank Dukes is the only of these heroes this year. That like had cool, like stunty stuff they got to do in their movie. I think Quaid is great. I think Ripley is obviously, if we're talking about like best movie heroes, Ripley is close to the top. But like specifically for the Dad or Day flavor, I think the daddy has to go to somebody who like, you can't really tell if you're watching ESPN or TNT. Like, is this sports? Is this movie? It's for dad, so it's kind of both. And so I do think Jean-Claude Van Damme has that on lock this year for the daddy.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
Jordan,
I'm obviously big Frank Dukes fan over here, but I don't know. There's something about the combination force that is Arnold Schwarzenegger himself, as well as Quaid is like the centerpiece of his own movie more than almost anybody else's. There's virtually no focus on hardly anybody except for Quaid throughout the entire runtime of Total Recall. And so we just get a lot of time to understand what he's going through as somebody who has theoretically lost his memory and is actually acting against what his original plans were. And I just think that storyline is so satisfying to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with how long ago that was, you know, that was one of the first ones that we did. I forget just how Arnie Quaid is. Mm. And in the realm of Dad or Day, I will side with Quaid here and give the award there. I do have to say, what an absolute full splits onto the scene Jean-Claude Van Damme has made to this podcast.
Van Damme, please.
There is
please
equal regret and then also excitement to know that there is such a deep well to pull from in future Dad or Days for Mr. Van Damme. Very excited for that. But Quaid will take this. Yep. Next we have the, we'll say prop, item. So like something that stands out, gadgety. Dad or Day movies don't really necessarily do as much as what James Bond would do, but there's definitely a try at it. We're taking a stab.
Sure.
Okay. Everyone's got their own cue in these movies. We start with the magnetic boots of Face Off
sure.
that are used to really what we say is track. They do a lot more than tracking.
Track and lock.
They did things that we never got to see while walking as we had hoped, but the boots were great. The shells. The item from Demolition Man sure. that we had to use to wipe our booties. The watch from Total Recall, the watch that does, that's like in a world that's super futuristic, for some reason, this is just blowing people's minds. Like, this is the thing that they just can't figure out. It's like, oh no, that's not actually him, as if they've never seen something like that before. The Golden Guns are John Woo duo that our villain has. And then lastly, the suit that Ripley gets in to fight that final boss fight. Again, that's our magnetic boots, the booty shells, the I'm Quaid watch, the Golden Guns, and the super suit.
Yep.
The suit to fight the big bad. 3, 2, 1.
Golden suit. Guns.
Okay. So we've got suit from Doge, Golden Guns from Jordan. Quickly, Jordan, I'll let you go first this time. Tell me why the Golden Guns.
I just think that they're more like item prop more than like set piece. I mean, obviously the suit from Aliens is iconic, but the Golden Guns you could have like a replica of in your house. Plus they're just so ridiculous, like ridiculous that I can't, they're amazing.
That's like what you're drawing in seventh grade. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's what my gun looked like in Modern Warfare 2 when I was able to like customize it when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So good.
It's going to be the suit for me because of these items that we've mentioned. I think the suit is the one that you could have just like a black poster with that white outline of that suit. And that's like recognizable. Like that's an Aliens 2 poster. That's an Aliens poster. It's the only one that really serves to have any kind of actual impact on the plot to me. And I think maybe I'm choosing it because it is more of a set piece over just a, like a regular prop. But it's totally a, like from a screenwriting perspective, it's a Chekhov's construction suit where you introduce it and you show it in the beginning of the movie. And it's like, you wait just long enough for your audience to forget about it. And then you bring it back and you solve the movie's big problem with this thing that you didn't even, your audience didn't realize they already knew about.
Yep. It'll go to the suit on this one, but great point in bringing up that maybe that's not exactly a prop. I do appreciate the technicalities there, Jordan. Finally, we have our top villain of Dad or Day. You know how important this is to me. We know how important it is to a story. You got to be able to fight something big to make the big explosions to really close that arc. We have the Queen from Aliens.
Hmm.
Simon Phoenix, Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man, Chong Li from Bloodsport, Nicolas Cage as Castor Troy, John Travolta as Castor Troy.
Interesting.
Again, that's the Queen from Aliens, Chong Li from Bloodsport, Simon Phoenix from Demolition Man, Nick Cage as Castor Troy, and John Travolta as Castor Troy.
I'm ready.
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Travolta.
The Queen.
What'd you say,
Travolta.
Jordan?
It's obvious. The Queen is in...
Travolta as Troy.
The Queen is in Aliens for
Doge
5 minutes.
Doge as the Queen.
Travolta lives in your brain the entire movie.
Doge?
The Queen is just extremely memorable to me. Like the Queen is such good movie magic where she's like, I know that's a puppet. I know that's a big robot, but it looks like a big scary monster bug that's going to eat Sigourney Weaver.
The Queen was amazing. It was an adaptation of a xenomorph, like a creature we had seen before. I had never seen John Travolta, let alone someone try and do what he did so well. I must give this to John Travolta's Castor Troy.
I also would like to say that if there was a category for best fight scene, I would also give it to like the final 10 minutes of Face Off.
Aliens too. The Aliens was great.
Aliens is great, but from the church to the end of Face Off is like a 10-12 minute fight/chase scene that is just high octane and exciting as all hell.
I fell into a Dad or Day trap because one of the first daddies I wanted to give out was like a finish him Mortal Kombat thing of like, what was the coolest death? And I got so overwhelmed at how many cool things happened that I couldn't even pick 10. Yep. Like Simon Phoenix's head falling off and blowing up.
That's
like,
cool.
What?
That's really cool. When he gets frozen and then shattered.
Yeah. So many.
You know what's funny
weird,
though?
Weird good deaths.
Zero awards to Bloodsport, and it's still the movie on this list that I would start right now. That I would leave. Yep. I would leave my office and go hit play on Bloodsport right now.
Sometimes good stuff gets snubbed at the Oscars. Yeah.
I don't want to watch any of these movies again for a while. I don't want to watch a single one of these movies again for a little while, but I would watch Bloodsport right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloodsport wins the award for favorite of all of these. I loved it so much. I kind of want to watch Bloodsport too, just to see how bad it is.
Let us know. Write a book report about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll deliver. I'll deliver.
You do a solo podcast episode about it. Carter and I'll take the week off.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be great. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and let's do this. We're going to take a guess. No, we'll do that later. I've created a game that I'm really excited about, but I don't want to blow the gasket too early here. So I'll hold on to it. We're going to each say our name and which universe from Datterday Afternoon we'd like to spend an afternoon in.
Are the events of the movie happening to me, or am I just existing somewhere?
Dealer's choice, man. Just which world do you want to be in? For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, and I think I'd probably exist in Bloodsport just because it seems like it's normal everywhere that's not Kowloon, the walled city. So I'd probably just go there and exist in like the late 80s for a few minutes, or early 90s for a few minutes. You know, spend an afternoon in a Radio Shack.
Just looking at touching all the cables.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Just trying to remember what it was like.
Yeah.
I'm Doge. I'm going to live in the world of Face Off, but not where any of that stuff's happening. Because like I'm sure there's other medical advancements.
Stay away from churches and carousels, my guy.
Other medical advancements, probably. If we could do face flipping around surgery, there's probably other advancements. I would enjoy those advancements. And then like the events of the movie Face Off seems like something that you'd watch on the news and be like, dang, that's crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I definitely could not want less the world of Demolition Man. There's no way I would want to live there. No freaking way.
Would you eat at that fancy
Taco
Bell?
Maybe at the beginning when it blows up to see the explosion for myself and feel the heat. Mm. But I'm going to choose a post.
I would eat that fancy Taco Bell.
A post rebirth explosion of Mars.
Yeah.
I think I want to be there, sure. Maybe help clean up some of the glass. I think that'll take a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't mind the therapeutic endorphins I get from cleaning.
It's so Earth maybe I'm too helping at that point, right? Because there's like blue
it's
sky
the
and
second
water.
Earth.
It's Earth too. New Earth just
but it's
dropped.
Heading out there. Yes, it's going to be terrifying to make the trip. I can't imagine being in deep space. My good Lord, my hands are sweating thinking about it. But yeah, I'm down for Mars, man. I want to see what they're working with out there.
I love it. Well, there's that. There's Datterday. It's over.
We did it. We did an episode. Are you happy now?
Wave at your dad as he leaves. Bye, Dad.
I'm glad we all waved and didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. I said wave.
For our podcast.
Good instructions you follow.
For you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.